find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880. HorseBills.com is
At the Races with Steve Wick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Wick.
We're back, and about 10 minutes in, Nick is going to join us momentarily. I got one of those text alerts that, you know, FedEx, the morning starts out, your package is out for delivery. Okay. So then you get the message, your package has been delivered. Okay. So, you know, I get what, 2 minutes and 15 seconds or so to between the breaks to go downstairs, and you'd be surprised what I can get done in that 2 minutes. JJ used to laugh at me because I would go have a cigarette. I'd be able to literally smoke a whole cigarette in 2.5 minutes. And Nick Tamaro's laughing because Nick has been sneaking cigarettes between races for years. And I give him grief every time. But I run downstairs, and you know, there's the back door, there's the side porch, and there's the front door. So I got to look in three different places to find and it's still not there. So which means the guy left it in the garage, which is the latest new innovation that we've discovered, that the FedEx guy is now leaving packages in the garage.
In the garage.
The garage makes sense because it's out of the rain, the potential, you know, and it's out of sight. So it's not a bad choice for the delivery guy.
We have about a 6-foot walkway in front of my front door and a Ring doorbell camera, and the FedEx guy dropped off a package a couple of weeks ago when we were out of town, and he put it right in front of the walkway. So it was almost as if the only thing he forgot was the sign that said, "Here's the package, you can take it." No effort made to get it anywhere near the door. I don't know what, you know, what may have done it. Maybe it was our Halloween ringtone when you trip the detector.
Oh, does it? Do you have some like howling screech? I did that one year.
No, it's more playful than that. My daughter likes it, but I would prefer to go to that. Yeah, the Exorcist tone would have actually been my preference.
Well, that's pleasant, actually. Tubular bells.
I agree.
Yeah,
and also horrifying at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Nowhere. Good point. I remember. We put, there was something we hid in the bushes that, I don't know if I forget how it worked, but it must have had a beam or something, and it would, when kids would come to the door, it would make, I forget what it played, but it was scary, a little bit, you know, just startling, let's put it that way. We had this riff the other day, it was yesterday, because I brought it up with Mary Perdue. Tina now is not even going to, you have no choice because you have a child. And so, you know, you've got Halloween activities, but Tina's going to turn the light off and she's not even going to distribute candy this year. I'm horrified.
For what reason? Is she not observing?
She just doesn't want to be bothered. She doesn't want to get up and down 15, 20 times. It's not like years ago, apparently, is her complaint. I mean, I told the story to Mary Perdue yesterday that when I first moved here, Nick, we would get 150 kids a night.
I believe
it was unbelievable. One year I had to run over to Hannaford or CVS and buy some more because I ran out.
Yeah, that's incredible. Now, that makes it a lot of fun. When I grew up in the suburbs of Dallas, we would get tons of kids, and you know, you sprinkle in when you're going to trick or treat so that you can still be there for the ones that come in, because my father, God rest his soul, would buy a mask, like a Michael Myers mask or something like that, and he would open the door and scream at the same time, and this is before his gastric bypass surgery, so he was about 400 pounds. You met him, obviously, much, much later in his life when he was a very thin guy. And so this giant man would open up the door with a Michael Myers mask on, and you can imagine how many kids were sent away and just in tears. He loved it. He absolutely loved it. He thought it was hysterical. Parliament hanging out of his mouth after he took the mask off.
What was your you're a big man. What and I'm going to assume you were a big young man. Growing up, what was your best go-to favorite Halloween costume?
I had a homemade. Somebody made me a Batman costume when I was little. You know what's funny is I was actually a little guy. I was tall but somewhat thin. Then I filled out plus in high school into college. But I had a homemade. I'll tell you which one I was really proud of was. So I was a big Jim McMahon fan growing up, and I begged my parents to buy me a Jim McMahon football outfit, complete with the pads and everything. There's a photo of it lingering somewhere. I may have to get it from my mom and put it on social media so everybody can have a laugh.
Oh, you absolutely have to now. I mean, now you're going to be harassed into it.
Yeah, no choice. That's fine. I don't take myself all that seriously, so it'll be good for a laugh for sure. I definitely have the Batman one as well. I was particularly small for that one, so yeah, I'll have to get on that today.
That's tremendous. Another thing you do take seriously is the morning line at Keeneland. We can't have.
I don't take it as seriously as some do. No, I can't. We can't have a discussion without it, right?
No, we can't because I've never seen such a mania.
You know, I was pleased. So yesterday, I was having a good day. I had a good little hit late at Aqueduct, and the Astros were winning, and the Keeneland morning lines yesterday were really good. So I Twitter searched Keeneland morning line, and I was pleased that I had generally seen all of the assorted complaints. But I find it hilarious that I guess we live in this age of absolutes where everybody wants to declare something exactly what they think it is, and it, and they attach of all time or, you know, some other ridiculous term to it. And so there were two or three people who said, Keeneland has the worst morning lines in the country. And I thought, well, Jesus, I mean, give me the whole meat to prove it. Right? Don't say that after 5 days. I mean, look, it might be true after 17 days, but don't say it now. So, yeah, I laughed, and it was a good dose of reality to have sprinkled in there. But yesterday was a bit better morning line day. Wednesday was a little difficult. There were some scratches that made things hard. I'll tell you what, you know, yesterday the only horse that went off a significantly shorter price than I had him on the morning line was Extra Anejo. And, I mean, admittedly, I have no pathway to finding out what horses are working well 72 to 96 hours in advance. And I'm not gonna, I'm not gonna pester the clockers that I know and ask them, mainly because they all bet, and I don't want them necessarily to lose any kind of edge, and that's not information that I have access to. So, you know, I might ask our mutual friend Big John, hey, if there's ever anybody that good again, maybe I'll ask, but I don't want to pester him either. So, you know, it happens. I made the horse the second choice. He went up 7-5. Oh well. The word was out whether I had him the right price on the morning line or not.
No, and there's going to be those kinds of horses. And what is proving to me to be what has to be tricky in your evaluation. In fact, we can even I don't know if you have any opinions about today in particular. I mean, I'm deeper into today than tomorrow. To me, I've looked at at the card tomorrow. However, when you have a race like this, look at. Look at what's the best example of this. I suppose this eighth race, this non-winners of two lifetime, Nick, the six furlongs, the eighth race, where Strobe is a logical 9-5 favorite, but there is a hatful of horses. There are a hatful of horses. Imperador, Overboard, Classic Moment, Drive for Fun. That are all, 10-1, 12-1, 15-1. One of those horses is going to get bet. Somebody is, and Classic Moment, who I picked, is 20-1. There's going to be, somebody's going to catch a wave in there. And I don't know how you prevent that as a morning line maker. That there's somebody that becomes a mojo horse. By the time the tote board lights up.
Yeah, it's true. And in a situation like this where you mentioned where we're going to have a pretty heavy favorite, you're going to be able to throw a blanket over some of the others. Worth noting, the 2, 4, and 11 are all out of there. So Appeal Denied is a horse that I had a difficult time with as well, because his maiden win last time out was good. He ran an improved figure, and, you know, he looks competitive based on that. The problem that's going to happen now is Strobe is going to go off 4-5, and everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, 9-5, yeah, there was a big chance of that. Well, what the hell was I supposed to do when there were 12 of them in there? Right? I mean, I'm not making 3 horses 50-1. So, you know, it's much easier to just look at it that way and take that approach. But yeah, I mean, obviously he's going to be a very big favorite. He beat home an eventual graded stake winner in Elite Power on debut, and a little bit of the starch has been taken out of the field now. But I mean, Mahamal did get a 93 buyer last time, did get a 99 at second asking. And if you want to talk about horses that are also rans, take a look at who finished third in Mahamal's maiden win, right? Cody's Wish. So I mean, this is another horse. He's now a new gelding, and I understand that he's on an ownership change as well. I guess Rapoli and Vinnie Viola bought him from Shadwell. But yeah, it's you know, these are the races that are very, very difficult. One that was hard yesterday, without getting too much in the weeds on this, but the one that Marianne Scherer won, one of the things I'm noticing, and I mean, by all means, I'm happy to discuss morning lines with anybody who's made them and people who aspire to, one of the things that I've noticed quite a bit more in the time that I've been making morning lines, and I wonder how much the CAWs have to do with this, is that the public is not penalizing horses for their last running line as much as they used to. And I wonder if that, I think it's situational. I don't know if it's something that you can say across the board, but it used to be that if a horse was coming off a particularly bad running line, the public really retreated from them. And there was a lot of value in finding ones that you could give a one-time excuse, but really you were given that opportunity on a kind of a limited basis. And that was a horse that was coming in off a particularly bad running line, but the back form was really strong. So the public kind of really honed in on some of the back form and went with that, and led to that horse being a shorter price, which admittedly I should have made him a decent bit shorter. Even with the 3 scratches in the field, he probably should have been about 4 or 9-2.
Well, this is a fascinating exercise in general. I mean, the maiden race is going to be interesting, the 7th as well, because I don't have any particular, confidence that the favorites are particularly good.
And Callie's Grid is now scratched, which makes it even more difficult, right? Yeah, I mean, now it's going to be, you could be looking easily at a 4-1 type favorite. I guess Sunbee, Self-Confident, and Boltoro, one of those 3 will be favored. Boltoro comes out of a race that... I think there's another runner running over the weekend coming out of there as well. So we'll get a little bit of a gauge on that. But you've got a few in here who could take more money. The Kyle Karamori horse, American Odalisque, has good turf pedigree on the dam side. So why isn't that a horse that could take a little bit more money? Right?
I picked her. I put her 4th, using Boltoro and Sunbee. I picked the 15-1 shot of Margos, Paint Me Perfect. The dam was a state filly on the turf.
Yes, exactly. Yep, there's real pedigree there on a couple.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad you told me. I have not done the scratches yet, so it does look like I've made the right choice not getting the doing the ticket building until after we get finished today. All right, well, let's turn to New York. And we obviously did the recap in terms of performance of the last couple of weekends when we talked on Monday. If anybody missed that, it's on the archive. Talk a little bit about racing tomorrow.
Yeah, the Sands Point came up a really, really nice race. And I think actually if you kind of merged Sands Point and the QE2, you'd have a really, really good 3-year-old filly turf race. And I think kind of knowing that a horse like McCulloch was running in the QE2, I think that kind of prompted some connections to go the other direction, to go to the Sands Point. You've got horses, the 1-2 finishers from the Dueling Grounds Oaks that are back in the Sands Point, the 3-4 finishers are in the QE2. You know, it's a tough race, Steve. I really had a hard time finding somebody. I ended up, at this point, I've picked Kinesi, and I don't particularly trust Kinesi. I don't even really know how good she is, but my thought is that she was relatively close to a strong pace in the Jockey Club Oaks Invitational last time out. Understandably tired. Now she's going from 1 3/8 to 1 1/8. I wish she had done a little bit more running in the risk averse, but I don't know how much she loved being inside in a race where really all of the late development took place outside. And I wonder if that maybe put her a little bit behind the eight ball. And so I'm going to give her an excuse for that. It's a race really where, you know, other than Pizza Bianca, whose form has been a little bit more exposed here than a lot of the others, you can throw a blanket over these horses. Aside from Lady Baffled and Golden Rocket, but the other six, I think you can make a strong case for any of them winning this race, including Skims and Vergara, who come in off those good efforts at Kentucky Downs. Eminent Victor was badly pace-compromised last time out in a race that was dominated on the front end by Haughty. Spirit and Glory was really, really good at Colonial last time out, winning for fun after breaking slowly. Wonder if she might be a little bit better with Lasix. And then Hail 2, you know, if you're not familiar with the race that Hail 2 comes out of, not only did it yield the next out win by Transient, which was a really easy win, Hail 2 ran great. She was 4 to 5 wide the whole way around there, and I will admit I bet her that day and was shocked that she was able to win that race. Of course, I screwed up the trifecta, but, you know, she won there. And so I'm concerned about whether she can run back at that level. If she does, she is absolutely a win candidate, and she's definitely a horse you'd want to bet as well, because you're going to get that 10 or 12 to 1 range on her, too. So it's a really fascinating race. Again, I picked Kinesi, kind of a tepid choice, but it should be very, very fun.
All right, some other spots on the day?
Yeah, the 10th is interesting. Breeze Easy is dropping in class and getting Lasix for the first time. This is a European shipper for Christophe Glamond, who's run 4 times in stakes races, so she's not had the benefit of having Lasix, and now gets Rosario and the inside post. She's the interesting one as the likely favorite. There's a few horses coming out of the 7th race on opening day at the Belmont at Aqueduct meet, and I don't know. You're supposed to take Miss Taparato of them, but I do think that she really was set up to win last time. I know that she was a little unlucky. Irad decided to take her back to make one run, and it was a race that really, according to pace figures, wasn't particularly fast early, but she finished very strongly and came up just short. He had a really hard time straightening her out. She was lugging in badly, and you know, he had a hard time straightening her out and getting her to run the right direction than just about any jockey would, because I think physically he's that gifted. So I would imagine Breeze Easy will be pretty tough on the drop. Mrs. Green was a good third in there with no real excuse. And again, if you think the pace was moderate, then I don't think she was hurt by that whatsoever. So we'll see if one of them come back. I do think that I'm going to give Glitter Up a little bit of a shot to wire the field. The 8, she was third behind Mrs. Green 2 starts back and then came back and wired a field last time out. We'll see what kind of turf course we're dealing with. I know we're off except for the feature today, but it's probably going to be one that's still holding a little bit of moisture, given that it's now the getting into the mid-fall, so the grass is not going to dry the same pace that it would have earlier. There's a couple of maiden races on the card, including the opener, that look interesting. The opener's at 1/16 on the turf, and you've got some Saratoga Turf alums coming back, including Olagata and Idea Generation. The connection is not enough of Idea Generation to try her in the P.G. Johnson off of that no contest race, and she's supposed to find a way to win. I really don't know how good she is, but I do know that, in general, these horses seem to run better downstate than they do upstate for Chad Brown. Look at Cafe Fleur yesterday in the 3rd race, and she's a horse that had just been she was so bad losing that race at Saratoga and came back yesterday and looked like a totally different animal. So I would expect Idea Generation to run quite a bit better. And he has Kinchin back, 2nd off the layoff, trying to break her maiden now at 4th career asking in race 4, which is a pretty interesting maiden race on the turf as well. So, yeah, pretty good card. Should be good, including that Sands Point, a very competitive feature.
Excellent. Nick. This is great. I appreciate it, and we'll start to keep telling everybody the same thing. All the regulars will start getting ready for Cup starting next week.
Sounds great. Can't wait. See you soon, Steve.
Nick Tamaro, everybody, NTAM 1215, and look forward to Nick's Batman and Jim McMahon costumes. I love it. All right, we are at the bottom of the hour exactly. We got a half an hour and perfect timing. We got Hammer, who I think is still in Denver. Is he still in Denver? He was at Red Rocks earlier in the week. So we'll see how the trip is going. And, of course, the trip was sort of delayed coming off the back end of the Kentucky Downs season. So I'm anxious to hear from Hammer. A couple of news and notes. I don't know if you saw it yesterday. But the next time I think we talk to Andrew Offerman, he's going to be at the New York Racing Association, brought in to run the racing department, and delighted for Andrew, who has been so terrific for Canterbury and has done such a great job, and takes on a major, obviously, moving to New York. And Andrew, if I'm not mistaken, Andrew had, as a younger guy, when his career was just starting, I think he spent, right? He spent time. But I didn't actually, read the press release. I heard
correct
the news.
So
congratulations to Andrew. Looking forward to having him in New York. Having Hammer back with us. We missed it last week. We got so out of whack with a huge weekend, and we never got to Hammer. So catching up now. And Hammer, are you still in Denver?
I am not in Denver. I am actually back where it all began, beautiful Monmouth Park. I'm actually sitting. Yeah, how about that?
I love it. I love it. You had planned. And, you have been planning a Jersey trip, so at least you're getting it done. A couple of weeks late.
Yeah. No. We're going to come obviously right after Kentucky, and then the COVID hit and it blew everything up. And so anyway. We came out here, and literally, it's kind of wild because, like I say, we're back where it all began. I'm staying with Casey Kelly, who's Bobby Humphrey's sister, and that's where I stayed when I first came here in 1989. Humphrey sent me out here. I go, well, where am I going to stay? He goes, go stay with my sister. And I go, okay. And she is the greatest. And so when we came back, she says, why don't you stay with us? Gina's with me. And we said, absolutely. So we're literally back where it all began. So it's kind of cool being back here. And last few days of training here, they closed on the 31st. But I was on the backside this morning checking things out. And very cool. And then I found out, which I didn't know, that Tar Heels is tomorrow.
Yeah. You going to go
Are
over?
You're going?
I can't. We're going to Rochester for the baby's first birthday.
And once again, I thought it was it was later in the month, and I actually thought about it, they just asked Bill and John, just asked me, hey, you want tickets for tomorrow? I go, what's tomorrow? And they go, Far Hills. I said, you got to be kidding me. And so we've already made plans to do some stuff. And I said, darn, I would love to get back there. But don't you go every year?
Yes, pretty much. And I also did not expect it. When I told Tina, she said, we're going to have the baby's birthday party on the 15th. She says, is that a problem? I said, no, it should be fine. Because by all rights, Far Hills should have been the 22nd, 2 weeks out from Breeders' Cup. It's always 2 weeks out from Breeders' Cup. And except it's not 2 weeks out from Breeders' Cup. It's 3 weeks out. So I made the commitment to the baby, and you can't break the promise. The baby will not let me forget it the rest of my life if we don't go.
You got to be the baby.
He's 1 year old. How's he going to even? He's not even going to know. He doesn't know it's his birthday.
But you got to do it. No, I thought it was later too, and I actually thought about coming out to see it. But anyway, they did change it on it. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I was in Denver. We went to Denver last weekend, a couple days, looking around, checking things out, and always got to come to the Jersey Shore, one of my favorite spots. And I'm not going to make the Meadowlands tonight, but we'll still do some things and move around. But I tell you what, I went to we got busy last week, and I didn't really have a whole lot, but I made a return trip to Santa Anita the week before. I was there for their opening Saturday, and I hadn't been back in 3 years. Kind of wild turning that corner, but I tell you, I was sitting up there, and you look out, you forget what a beautiful place it is. I tell you what, I mean, looking up at that mountain, the sun out, and horses going by. I mean, I forgot how absolutely beautiful that place was. So it was fun going back to Santa Anita and taking in the races again. And anyway, so I've been busy checking out a few things for next year, and it's all been good. but I wanted to, I really wanted to throw this kind of goofy off the wall thing. You know, they had an auction at Arlington Park for all the bunch of stuff that, that was there, that was in the track from the, from, you could buy it, either bought a dinner plate that was in the turf club to the eighth pole to whatever. And I put a bunch of bids on, and I ended up getting this one thing. I got this, this print, this framed print, and, it was a Miss Woodford. It was a match race, and Miss Woodford was in it, and it was from the 1800s. And I ended up getting it, and it came, and it's really cool. And I, of course, when I think of Miss Woodford, I think of Monmouth Park because they have a stake here named Miss Woodford. And, you know, you hear the names, and you don't really think anything about it. But you know, I did some history on Miss Woodford before, and I think it's really cool that we're talking about it while I'm here. But she, you remember, you know the name, and you probably, everyone's heard the name. But she's got some really cool history. She was the first horse ever to win $100,000, if you can imagine that. And she made, I think 38 starts and won 27 of them. Anyway, she beat this horse called Freeland in this match race, which was like one of the biggest things that happened in racing in 1885. And articles all over the New York newspapers about it. And this horse, Freeland, was horse of the year at some point. And he was by a horse called Longfellow, which they run the Longfellow Stakes here at my Monmouth Park as well. And I was just so happy to get this thing and be back here. And you know, the history is so much more rich back here, normally, but racing-wise as well. And it's just, you start going down the rabbit hole and start looking stuff up. And I'm finding myself on eBay, looking up other stuff and getting programs and stuff. And I ended up, which I'll put a couple pages on, I ended up getting this 1884 condition book from Saratoga.
Wow.
I just got it in the mail, and it's, very delicate, but it is so cool how the races are done. And in the stakes, they when they put the stakes in the condition book, they have the listing of all the horses that are eligible to enter, because they used to nominate months and months and months in advance. And they have the name of the horse, the owner, and all the breeding, listed right in the condition book. And I'm going to put some stuff up on Twitter, but just very cool. And I love coming back here and enjoying the history of just the area, but especially the history of the horses and stuff. So that's what I've been doing, keeping up horse-wise.
I love it. And you were looking forward to this trip, so I'm glad. I'm glad you're getting it in.
We're finally getting it in, and then we got Breeders' Cup pre-entries a week from Monday, right? 10 days away.
Yes.
And I think most of the prep races are done. I guess we're running the QE2 tomorrow at Keeneland, which the horse could obviously win that and come back in, but I think most of the heavy lifting's been done, and it's just a matter of to see who's going to pre-enter. And sometimes always people get mixed up what a pre-entry is. It's basically throwing your hat in the ring. In other words, you can't enter unless you pre-enter. So if you have any intention of running, you need to put your name in the hat on Monday, and then for the races that are overfilled, they're looked at by the Breeders' Cup Selection Committee and decide who gets in and who doesn't get in. But if you do not pre-enter on Monday, you cannot enter the next Monday to get into the races. So it gives everyone a good look, and especially us handicappers now, we'll get a look, and we can start looking at PPs and starting to make some decisions. So it's that time of year again. It's great.
Yeah, some of the principal, the principal participants. I mean, the lead, the favorite, the likely favorites. I mean, they're established, there's always the certain percentage that we know. But I tell you, Nick Luck earlier, he kind of scared me a little bit. He said upwards of 50 international participants involved. I mean, that then you got to start making the turf sprint versus mile versus filly and mare versus the cross entries. I mean, there's the understanding of what the various horses that you don't even know that well to begin with, that adds to the complexity of the whole endeavor.
And, that's what we need, obviously. We've seen our horses run, often enough, and there's some heavy favorites in a lot of the divisions, and throw in the Europeans. And that's why we need that extra week to look at some of the PPs on some of these horses and start paying attention. I know you put up the odds checker, was that yesterday or the day before?
Yeah.
And which shows some of the odds that are over in Europe on some of these races, and you can pay attention to some of their horses that were bet early. And there's all kinds of information out there to use and get, especially like you said, these Europeans. You can dig in. You can it's actually kind of fun to spend some time and go back and relook at some of these races and the quality of the races they've looked in. And what blows my mind is some of these horses will be coming out of races where they finished fifth out of 25. Things like that, and sometimes it's hard to read into that. But without the Europeans in there, it would just be kind of another flawed day. But the Europeans, coming over, I think they really are going to appreciate the Keeneland area and the weather and everything else, and the footing especially. But yeah, it adds to the mix, and this is what we get excited about this time of year.
Very much. Very much, Hammer. Well, the big prep stuff is in the books more or less. But anything you're keeping tabs on for the weekend?
No, like I said, it was more of a watch and see weekend. Of taking a little bit of a mental break on the racing side, because I know it's going to be just full blast, especially when we get there. The week of, it's just going to be nothing but. They got the sports betting bill out in California that's going on the ballot, but apparently the word on the street is that that's not going to pass this year. They're going to regroup and try and get it back on the ballot in a couple of years. I don't know. I know it was hoped for that to happen and have the sports betting at the racetracks and things like that. But like I said, word on the street. One other goofy thing that, I went to Denver, I tried to find Centennial Park, and Centennial Park was a racetrack that opened up, I think, in the 30s and 40s and ran in a town called Littleton, still a little bit southwest of Denver, and I happened to have made a stop there in the late 70s, and we're driving around, I had my daughter with me, and she's getting a little taste now that if we're near a racetrack, we're finding something out. So we're driving through, apartment buildings and condo things. And all the thing I got found is I sent out on Twitter like a statue of a rider and a horse in a shopping mall. It was about a half mile away, so I figured it had something to do with it. But, they used to have racing in Denver. And Gary Stevens chimed in. He said he rode there in 79, who started there. And so it was a couple other people that were interested in that. But, yeah, Denver had a racetrack. And before Arapahoe Park now is actually part of the little circuit out here in the West. So always involved in a racetrack wherever we go. So, but it's good to talk to you again and after missing last week. And it's good to be back here at Monmouth. And it'll be great to see you in Kentucky when we get everything going.
Absolutely. Hammer, I appreciate it. The stop at Red Rocks, you just went there, just came through, right?
Yeah, well, no, now Red Rocks is an outside concert venue that's about 20 miles west of Denver. And it is, let me tell you, so I'm with my daughter. She's like, what are you doing? I said, we're going to Red Rocks. And she goes, well, is there a concert? I said, no. We get there. I've only seen one show there. I saw the Grateful Dead there in 78 or 79. And I always remember that because we sat right behind Bill Walton in the third row. But every time I go by there, you have to go. And you go there and you think, what's the big deal? and there's 1,000 people there. And they're there for no other reason than to just sit in the stands and view this unbelievable venue with the literally the red rocks on the side, these little bench seats that you sit on, and the city's in the background, and it's just you just feel the energy there. So it's just a place you got to go when you drive by. I've probably been there 15, 20 times. I've only seen one show, and we were there the night before Incubus was playing. And if it was just me, I would have gone. I've never seen Incubus. I couldn't name one song they had, but I would have gone just to go to Red Rocks, but it wasn't in the works. But anytime you're by Denver or you're in Denver and there's, you know, if Steve Vick and me and I are singing, go see it if it's at Red Rocks. Anything there is great to see. But had a great time. We're just kind of checking out the area just to see if it's the possible, place to go. And it's just a different vibe there in Colorado, and it's a very good, positive, outdoorsy vibe. So, I had a great run there. But, me, got to be on the road. got to keep moving. So we're in New Jersey here, and we'll be back home next week, and then we're headed to Kentucky right after that.
Well, the Born to Run today at the Meadowlands, 8:52. I don't know if I hope the turf is able to hold up grass meet.
I was walking on the backside early enough. They are running tonight, and I was happy to see the Born to Run. They finally broke free and got a Springsteen song in there. We tried to do that, I think, in like 94, 95. We snuck a name on there called the Rosalita. We had the Rosalita, 3-year-old filly steak, and it never made it to fruition because somehow or another they were worried about copyright or this or that. I said, you got to be kidding me. But anyway, I actually have the write-up of it because we had the Rosalita down. But we beat them to it out there in California with the Thunder Road. So, but I'm glad to see they finally got the Born to Run stakes out here for Bruce. So that's a good thing. But yeah, 6 races tonight, and then tomorrow's Far Hill. So once again, if you've never been to a steeplechase event, Steve, you can tell him more about it, but it's just a great day, and the weather's supposed to be beautiful. You know, back your car up, bring your champagne, your wine, your whiskey, whatever you want, and enjoy the day, right?
Big time, yeah. I mean, you can't the car spots are committed. They're sold out, and in fact they're like giant season tickets. They're passed on from generation to generation. So there's you can't drive up and set up your pickup and do your tailgating that way. But you certainly can still buy tickets today because the price goes up tomorrow. So get them online if you're thinking of going. Fairhillsrace.org, and hope everybody has a tremendous time.
Yeah, well, we'll work it out maybe next year where we come out and we all go. Because don't you usually go with Jimmy, too?
Jimmy goes and Tara, and I brought Johnny and Gail 1 year. They had a ball, the only time they've ever, Johnny's ever taken that in, so he loved it. So did Gail. Who else have we gone with? We've taken other people, too. It's a delight. I mean, it's so much fun.
Yeah, so, and like I said, anyone who's never seen that, you think, oh, that's not my style. Guess what? It's great. It's just fantastic. But that's it from the Jersey Shore.
Well, fast times, and America's greatest stretch, as they say. America's the fabulous Monmouth Park. Thanks, Hammer. Glad to catch up. Enjoy it, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds great. Good luck at the races, everybody.
There's Hammer. Away they go. And watch for some pictures and fun from Hammer as they continue to hit the sights and make their rounds. They were going to do it right off of the Kentucky Downs meet. So, and then then there was a hiccup. So I'm glad he's getting it in. Let's get to Popo for the last 9 minutes, give or take, to wrap up the morning and wrap up the week. The week, my God, I said, Tina said to me yesterday, she's at some conference in Albany, and she came home and she said, you know, it's Thursday night. I said, it's crazy. The week just flew by, absolutely flew by. Although I guess if anybody watched that that football game last night, I guess that was like they say painful. Yeah, no good. Dave, what did Dave? Which way did Dave go? I think he went with the Bears, right? Yeah, I think he took the Bears. Where's the sheep? I think he took the Bears last night. I'm almost positive. It's here somewhere. Yeah. No, I don't know. I think he took the Bears. Yeah, so. All right, 0-1 to start the week. That's not, Dave can't be happy. There's Popo. Popo's back off of a trip as well. And, Popo, I frequently like to ask everybody, all the regulars, you know, about their fun activities. But you counterbalance the fun activity with a not-so-fun activity. How you doing? How you feel?
Oh, I'm doing well, Steve. Yeah, I tripped out to Salt Lake City last week to see my brother, who I hadn't seen in a couple years. Got to see his kids, so that was good. And then really got back and had to have an epidural that I have to routinely get in my back for maintenance, basically, to manage pain, because I've had a riding accident when I was doing the show jump in the show jumping world and had some disc issues, but I can manage it with the epidurals about every 6 to 9 months.
Wow. Eesh, that's tough. I mean, we were talking about pain management and its risks with Tony yesterday. It just gives you an example. You don't have to be a race rider to suffer an injury. Listen, nobody has to wonder about the potential to be seriously injured or killed at any equine sport, whatever it is. Think about Don Little and Christopher Reeve, and I mean, you know, there's a long list.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we love what we do. So if you love and enjoy riding horses, it's just part of the day, but the way I live my life is you could get hurt walking down to the street to check the mail. So you gotta also live That's your true. Life. You just take whatever precautions that you can, but gotta do what you love.
Exactly. No, well put. All right. Well, let's talk about what's going on this weekend and Form to Win. I see a number of players that are getting used to the new layout and the new slides and taking advantage, Popo. What kind of feedback are you hearing?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of feedback, especially from the Aussie groups. Several people, you know, they got a big race over there tomorrow, Steve, the Everest, which is a $16 million race.
Yes.
Sprint race,
yes.
With Nature Strip. So I talked to a couple of people, some analysts for FanDuel who are over there, so they're actually going to be using Form to Win. And I actually did look at that Everest race, if you have any international players. That goes off about 1:15 tomorrow morning, race 7 at Randwick over in Australia. I mean, Nature Strip absolutely fits on Form to Win, but I'd be interested in two to three price horses in the mix. The two-horse Eduardo, currently trading at about 11-1, and then the 6 Private Eye is a little bit interesting, and these are just over 14-1. So I'll try to work my tickets around those particular horses, but Nature Strip's he's just a beast. He's extremely fast, and wish we would see him over here stateside, but doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon. But coming back here at Keeneland today, Steve, and that 8th race, I heard you talking about it earlier, that 12-horse Strobe, who looks like the, you know, short price favorite. I'd be interested in the 3-horse Imperador, who fits on Form to Win with a good sample size of 8 starts going 6 to 6.5 furlongs. And then in the Sycamore, Steve, the horse I landed on using Form to Win was Baltus, the 10 horse for Chad Brown. Rear Mission got pushed down a little bit because his last race is on turf with Gibb to it. You take that out and he fits, but I don't want a short price in that race. I think Baltus is improving. He absolutely fits, and you can get Chad Brown, and at 12-1, that may be a gift, so I'd be interested in him also.
I looked. I'll pull it up again. I thought the price that I was interested in was another mystery at 15-1 for Block.
Is he cross entered, Steve?
No, he should. Did he scratch? Let me hold on.
I thought I saw something that maybe he was cross entered at Hawthorne, but maybe I'm thinking of a different horse.
Well, he is a team block horse, but let's see. Let's take a look. 11 o'clock was the scratches, and I think what do we got? 7, 8, 9 is scratched actually. Good job, Papa. You're right. Good work.
I don't know where I saw, but I saw something about him running at Hawthorne. So,
well, what's interesting is that gets Chad's other horse in, Highest Honors. How's can you show everybody how quickly you can? Well, the 13 probably shows up in the original charting.
Yeah, so the 13. Now, I only ran my filter between 11 and 12 furlongs, and he is. He's pushed down a little bit, like the sixth. But he does have 3 starts. Let me see what his best is at the distance. No, it doesn't. Still around rank 6.
All right.
Using form to win. But the Baltus is the horse that best and average. Only given 2 starts going 11 or 12 furlongs. But he fits, and he's bred to be something. So I'm interested in him. But, crazy price, too, Steve. I don't know how he fits, but maybe underneath, if you're playing Tries or Supers, is Admission Office, who not one run well, particularly well recently, but... he fits. He's 3rd or 4th, no matter how I run it. And then Arclo is prominent, too. So I think, you know, Mirror Mission's the horse to beat, but he'll be a short price.
Yeah.
And the Queen Elizabeth tomorrow, Steve. I'm interested in the 5, Bella Bell. Shipping in was ranked number 1 on form to win, both best and average, just over McCulloch.
Excellent.
So maybe that's a little bit of a price play, too.
Yeah, 5-1. Scott Shapiro is on, and makes D'Amato has already established the ability to, you know, come east and win with this type. Anything else? Anywhere else for tomorrow?
Let's see. The Keeneland 8th tomorrow. Looks chalky. I mean, I'd go deep. I'd be interested in Scenic Masterpiece, who isn't the favorite, the 5 horse, but he is 3-1. And then that Nightcap, who, I mean, Feast fits, but there's a couple of prize horses I'd be interested in. The 9, Divine Leader at 15-1, who fits both on best and average. And then maybe underneath the 6 horse, Big Sport at 20-1. Ford wins done really well so far, Steve. It's been a little bit chalky at Keeneland, but the horses running 2nd and 3rd at big prices have made things fruitful. So,
that's one of the things about it. Yeah,
you got to pick your spots, but you can get chalk on top and get a price underneath. It makes it worthwhile.
Exactly, to be honest, I have found plenty of prices that have won that have been tough to get to personally, but I've cashed some tickets and I'm still digging in. We're gonna make the adjustment right now and get the plays up. And Papa, we'll talk next week. Form to win at AmWager, built right in, and all the tutorials and everything to help you understand how to get an answer in seconds using Form to Win and help you. Give you the speed algorithm. And Papo, I appreciate it. Good luck. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, have a great weekend, Steve. I'll talk to you later.
Papo Morales, everybody. AmWager, Form to Win. Let me quickly get out. We had Marty and Scott Shapiro. Nick Luck, thanks to Nick. Priv and Scully, Nick Tamaro Hammer, and Papo. Thanks to Casey for a great week. Thanks to all of you for listening. Good luck today. I'll have the Keeneland action up momentarily, and I will talk to you Monday morning. Thanks, everybody.
Fall on the apple.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Racing fans, don't miss Breeders' Cup Challenge Weekend at spectacular Santa Anita this Saturday and Sunday. On Saturday, we'll have six stakes, including the Grade 1 Awesome Again for horses prepping for the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic at Keeneland, and Santa Anita Park is honored to have legendary Hall of Fame trainer Ron McAnally presenting the trophy on Saturday for the Grade 2 $200,000 John Henry Turf Championship. Join us on track, and you can play in the $4,000 opening weekend challenge and take a shot at a $5,000 on-track bonus. And you can play from anywhere, free, in our $5,000 online Showviver. Bring the family. Our infield family fun zone is back with inflatable jumpers, pony rides, face painting, and more. Fans, don't forget, we have free general admission and parking, as well as $3 beers and $5 margaritas on all Fridays throughout the meet. World-class racing is back this weekend at Santa Anita.
Thank you.
summertime sun. Gold on the apple. Oh, there goes a Buick 49. Black sheep of the angels riding, riding down the line. We think there is a soul.